Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Say, I must delight myself in the Lord. What does it mean to delight yourself? What does it mean? Because it's central to the promise of receiving the desires of your heart. He says, trust also in him. He says, commit your way to God. Trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. He'll bring it. What is it? It is whatever you need or want. So all these promises are contingent on how we delight in him. Now, this word delight is a simple word, but it's profound in significance. It's because the word delight reflects three things. Reflects our desires, reflects our disposition, reflects our direction. So our delight reflects our desires, disposition, direction. Now, disposition is our attitude, you know, kind of how we approach things is our disposition. And look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. So we know that Jesus said a tree is known by its fruit. We know that. That's a principle we learned a long time ago. And so part of the tree that we are is reflected in how we delight. And we'll see what delight means in a more profound way. But Paul said something in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. He said, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you become disqualified? So Paul is saying to the believers of Corinth and to all of us in Scripture, he's saying, examine yourself. Examine yourself. Examine your delight. In fact, what is your delight? All of us have delights. But in what or in whom is our delight? So Paul says, examine yourselves, whether you're in the faith. And the faith means that we are walking by the word. The faith is the word of God, the doctrine of the word, you know, the lifestyle of a believer. Are we really looking at ourselves and not just assuming that, you know, I'm everywhere where God wants me. I'm, you know, my mind is where God wants it. My heart's where God. Let's not assume that. Let's believe it, but let's then give the fruit as evidence to it. Amen, somebody? Amen. You know, when you go to the restaurant, you go to the restaurant prepared to spend money on a good meal, right? And you expect them to deliver, you know. I mean, the fruit of a restaurant is the meal, the experience, and also the quality of the food. And if you go there and the meal's not good and you know, the experience is not good and it's just bad fruit, right? You don't want that. So we know that we judge other people like that in other restaurants and businesses. Let's examine ourselves. Am I delivering a good meal? I mean, am I putting forth from my life the best of what God's put inside of me? Now, I commend Sean as well as what Elder Owen said. Now, Sean worked last night. Now, y'all got up from bed and came to church. She been up working and then came here and led us into the presence of God. Amen. A marvelous way. Now, you know, that's somebody whose heart is in the right place, because a lot of us, like, I worked last night, I'm a call it in, you know, call in, whatever. She could have done that, but she did not. And I praise God for Sean Carter, amen, for her heart. Amen. She delights in the Lord. She delights in worship and leading worship. Amen. And it's obvious. I praise God for her example. So then we all take from her lead and examine ourselves as to whether we are in the faith. Am I serving God? Am I playing church? You know, what am I doing here, you know, with my life in Christ, right? It's good to examine yourself. In fact, we're having communion today, and communion is designed for that. The whole part of communion is, you know, is to examine ourselves and take of that bread and of the cup. Because we're saying we're in communion with Jesus Christ. We feel no condemnation. All we're doing is, let's just examine and make the adjustment if need be, right? It's a good thing, isn't it?
Amen.
We take so much for granted, but we only become better Christians by examination. We only become better Christians by examination. And by God's promises, and through accepting God's challenges to grow and change through grace. You hear that? Yeah. We become better. Only become better by examination, self-examination, by God's promises, and through accepting the Lord's challenges to grow and change in his grace. To live is to grow, and to grow is to change. We've got some trees in our front yard and two trees left. We had last two years, an infestation, this thing called a green emerald beetle or something. And ash trees were being killed by the, you know, thousands across the city, probably Midwest. We had seven, eight trees, just die. Had to take them down. Looked up this last week, I saw two trees with dead limbs. Tree's not dead, limb is dead, some dead limbs. I'm hoping that the tree's not diseased. But I learned a long time ago from a firm that did tree work that if you cut out all the dead wood and trim the tree back, it can recover its strength. Because the dead branches are trying to pull sap up. It's draining the tree. The dead branches are draining the tree somewhat, right? So to cut out all the dead wood and prune the tree will give it a chance to recover its strength. And so I've examined the tree. It needs to be pruned and purged, right? Purge is the things that go away and never come back. Prune is to cut what's good so more good can come. Amen. Like I always tell you, everything gets cut. Yeah. See, I'm getting cut. Everybody gets cut. Either we're being pruned, probably, and we're being pruned and purged. And it's good for us. Doesn't feel good. Doesn't even look good. When they finish my trees, they won't look so great, but in a couple, 3 years, they'll come back more full and more healthy. So we're examining ourselves. In our delight to see if and to see how we may allow the grace of God to mold us and shape us in a better way. Now go to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're coming down to define the word delight after this. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, as God's divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How many things has God's grace given us?
All.
Yeah, his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Exceeding great and precious promises. That through these, we're partaking of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. We escape this corruption in this world. We escape it by clinging to the promises of God. What God has promised you, what God offers you, is your salvation. It's the rescue boat. It's the lifesaver. It's the source of all your provision. That whatever out here in the world wants to bring you down, God has way more to bring you up.
Hallelujah.
There is never a condition where grace will be overrun, you know, by corruption and sin, whatever, lack, defeat. Oh, there's always more grace. God's grace is, listen, trouble is limited. Grace is unlimited. Lack is limited. You know, heaven is depression limited, but grace is always unlimited. And so these precious promises then empower us in this way. Let's define this word delight now. The word delight means to take pleasure in, to desire, to incline towards, to bend, favor, be well pleased, to have pleasure. Now, of all those words that define delight, what gets my attention most is the word, definition words, to bend. Delight means to bend. Delight, to delight is to incline or bend ourselves toward the objects of our desire and the sources of our pleasure. So then we're bent by the things we delight in, we incline towards. And what bends us and moves us is obviously very important to you. Now, it's not only that, though, you know, that we delight toward the Lord. Delight can go any direction. Like faith, you know, faith, our faith should be in God. But sometimes faith is misplaced. Faith is in the job. Faith is in somebody. Faith is in the government. Faith in the president, whomever. Faith can go that way, but faith should not go that way. So you can delight many things. So delight is the source of most of our pain and pleasure in life. Your pain and pleasure in life comes from our desires and how we are bent. You know, before I came to Christ, I was bent certain ways. Well, I bent many ways, bent that way, then bent back that way. I wasn't just bent one. I had like all these bends, you know, all these. I'm all bent. And the thing that bent me, just I was drawn to that. Even when stuff got me in trouble, there I was over there in trouble and thinking, man, I'm in trouble. Let me get out of here. Get out of that and go right back to it. Or something like that. And we're all bent different ways. But the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. When we are bent toward the Lord, bent in that direction, that brings the best things life can bring to us. And then from that, even in our dreams and desires and our career choices, lifestyle choices, we're bent in all these directions. So we can be bent in good ways and bad ways. And how we're bent is going to result in whatever pain or satisfaction that we are experiencing. The direction of our bent or delight determines our success in achieving the desires of our heart. So if a person says, young person says, I want to be a doctor one day. Okay, sounds good. Now, how are you bent right now? What's your bent toward mathematics? I hate math. What's your bent toward biology? Ah, it's boring. What's your bent towards, you know, physiology? Hate it. You can't be a doctor. You won't be a doctor. If you aren't bent toward what doctors do, I don't even like people. Like, I don't like people. I don't like people. You can't be no doctor. I want to be a doctor. But you're not bent that way. Listen, y'all, say what you want to say. We can only be what we are bent to become. What you delight in bends you that way. My delight, obviously, is in, you know, ministering the word. But before I was a preacher, before I was saved, I was always bent toward bringing folk together to do something. Whether it's back way back in the day with a Super 8 camera, little film. You got like 5 minutes of film in this thing. And I got my friends jumping out of trees for the karate film. I organize them. You go up there, you jump out, you jump. That was, no one got hurt, okay? We all had fun. I wasn't jumping, they were jumping, all right? I was filming. Super 8. Get it processed, we watch it, it's fun. And so I was bent toward, you know, technology as we had it back then, and I was bent toward understanding people and wanting to help people. Now, my mother put that in me because, you know, she was a great compassionate woman, and I received that same spirit of compassion want to help somebody always, somehow, some way. My dad gave me this sense of working at things and get it right and work on it till it's right. You know, I mean, how can you not leave it like that? You know, work that thing until it works, you know what I'm saying? So these are all ways in which we're trained to be bent a certain way. But then once the training is complete, you become a young adult. Now, really, it's up to you what you do. And training is good, but training won't save you if you don't want something yourself. Amen, somebody? Yeah. I mean, my parents are both excellent students coming up through school. My mother was an extraordinary student over at Addicts High School. She had the great Dr. Morton Finney as a teacher and people like that. And she's a remarkable student. So I had a bent to it, but I lost my mind. See, I became 15, 16, and my mind just went, so to speak. My grades, I kept the grades up. I had a facade going. I mean, we had those spelling tests, and I was studying the night before for 100-word tests. Learned 100 words in one night and aced the test the next day. Now, that's impressive, but you can't live like that. Don't ask what the word meant 2 days from then. I didn't learn it. See, rote knowledge is not learning, y'all. Rote knowledge, memorizing, is not learning. But all that foolishness showed up in college. That's where those bents towards shortcuts and not working on what I had in me potential-wise, all that showed up, you know, began to show up in college. So my point is that we're, by the grace of God today, thank God, by the Holy Spirit, then we can be bent in the ways and delight in the Lord and delight in a way that will bring us satisfaction and not just pain. Amen? Some of y'all are bent towards some old friends. You grew up with them, you know, and you want to help them out. They don't want to help you. They don't want to listen to you. You keep going over there and you're bent to help them. That's a good thing. But if people don't receive what you're offering, don't listen to what you're saying, you're wasting your time. You better pray for folks. Pray for people. At some point, even being bent to help people, if you get in the wrong mindset, you become a codependent kind of person, an enabler. I mean, you're helping people. You need to be needed, and that's a bad condition to be in. You hear what I said? Thinking I need to be needed, that's not healthy. It's not healthy at all. So these are all ways in which this thing of being bent is so important. Delight yourself in God. Delight, take pleasure, incline towards, and all that. Go back to Psalm 37 now. Just some key words here I want you to see. Because I want to encourage us that as believers, we already have the great advantage. The Holy Spirit is in us, motivating us. We're already bent in God toward the right things. Well, roll with that, walk with that, run with that, work with that. Let the Lord continue to show you how being bent in his direction is better for you. Now, some key words in Psalm 37. And the first word, it says, trust. These are all action words. Trust in the Lord. On the screen, I believe, too, coming up. He says, do good. See, trust, do, dwell. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land. Feed on his faithfulness. Trust, do, dwell, feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to him. And again, it says trust. So trust, do, dwell, feed, delight, commit, trust. And these are the words from the screen. Go find the words for me. Find them. They're up there somewhere. There we go. Now, when I say these words, don't get in your mind, I got all this work to do. No, I'm telling you, it's what grace does in you. Whenever you have God tell you to do something, don't feel like, oh, I can't do that. Oh, you can. It's, as Paul said, it's not me, it's the grace of God in me. So everything God requires, he provides. All God wants us to do is to be willing and to delight in him. So say this, I will trust, I will do, I will dwell, I will feed. I will delight. I will commit. And I will trust. Yes. Amen. And so this thing of being bent is very important to think about, the concept of that. And these words, there's much more motivation in these words than just wanting things, you know. Now, you think, well, okay, I'll do all this so I can get what I want. Don't think of it like that, all right? Don't think of it like that. Don't think of it like, okay, I want so much stuff, so I better be bent toward God. No, no, think more about just being bent toward God. Think more about a lifestyle. Because you find this to be true, I found it to be true over time. When my heart gets in the right place with God, it's not difficult to get things. It's not difficult to achieve things. I mean, when I'm trusting in God and He's empowering and helping me, these things come, as Jesus said, seek first my kingdom and righteousness, all these things shall be added to you. You don't go around chasing things. Chase God. And the things come. Y'all believe that? Yeah. Someone said the best things in life are free. That's true. But they're not cheap. Because the things given to you for free cost somebody else a lot. Amen. From salvation on through everything else we've experienced in life. I told you that I never get tired of looking at things like, you know, I like looking at nature. I'm more of a landscape photographer. I don't do a lot of portraits. I like photographing landscapes and nature and skies and horizons and sunrises and sunsets. I'm obviously bent that way because I'm reminded when I see a mountain, when I see, you know, an ocean or a lake that goes out to the horizon, when I see these really big things God has done, it reminds me of simplicity and power and timelessness. See, I'm connected to God who has all the power. He has all the wisdom. You know, I've never been to Disneyland. I regret not taking the kids to Disneyland. You know, we always go into the beaches and the mountains and, you know. But we did go to Universal Studios and Disney World. Where'd we go? I forget. Universal Studios, yeah, went there. All right. That was kind of fun, okay. But, you know, the things that man makes, went through this ride, they had this thing called the, this is old memories, y'all. Forgive me for, spaces and old memories, but Back to the Future has some kind of ride. Marty McFly and, you know, and the, you know, that DeLorean. It's pretty amazing stuff, you know. Yeah, it was fun. Wait in line for, I don't know how long waited, whatever, hour, you know, for like a 10-minute situation or less, you know. And it was fun for a minute. You know, it really was fun. But to me, just take me to the beach, you know what I'm saying? Drop me off at the beach, and y'all ride around, come back getting me. Because, down in my life, I prefer big things. The biggest, baddest roller coaster to me is a small thing compared to what God has done. So I'm saying, I'm bent that way. We're all bent in a certain way. And so that whatever you're bent toward is going to mold and shape your thinking. And so if thrill rides is your big thing, then God help you find thrills through your whole life. Because life is not full of thrills, everybody. Amen? So these are just ways I want you to think about your heart. What's the state of your heart? How are you bent in your life? What do you want to become or have become already? And now, what's the next level? In your career, where you are now, what's the next level? A friend of our daughter's, Christine, was a lawyer in Colorado, is that correct? Practicing law and, you know, doing a real good job at it, but got burned out on that. Just was so much to it. She could handle it, do it well, but she was so intense with how she works. She just, you know, moved to where she moved to. Somewhere out in Asia somewhere? Vietnam or Korea. I'm out of here, you know. Now, she'd be working there, but she wanted to change the scenery. And that's a big change of scenery, y'all. See, you know, I'm like, I'd probably do, you know, Kentucky or something, or Tennessee, Florida. I couldn't do, you know, Korea. Her point is, but she reached a point where, and she's a believer in Christ, too, where the bent she had in that intense part of the legal profession, It changed. She's still involved in the legal profession, but in a different way. She didn't want to litigate all day long. She's a nice, sweet girl, but she become mean, you know. She had to be, I mean, look, Jenny, right? Jenna, I knew her whole life, you know. Sweet girl, real quiet little girl. And I found out, man, she'd become fierce. She'd become a fierce lawyer because you have to be a fierce person to litigate. And she become bent toward becoming fierce when her nature is sweet, you know. So she said, I'm going back to sweet. You know, I guess she figured, I'm going back to something sweet. So God works with us, doesn't he? I mean, in mid-career, I mean, God is always helping us. But it comes down to how you're bent. And as much as I enjoy it again, you know, doing the rides and roller coasters. Back, I mean, I enjoy roller coasters. I love that stuff back in the day. I mean, listen, roller coasters are fun. Just scream, you know. It helps you. Just scream, going up and around, don't worry about it. After a while, you just look around, watch everybody else scream, you know. Just. But at some point, your life kind of changes. I don't want no more of that. But Dad used to ride motorcycles. Elder Hudson, y'all, rode motorcycles. He did hill climbs, all kind of stuff. Dad was a motorcycle guy. Out there doing all that stuff. Before he got saved, though, I think. And one day, I mean, every year, he had this beautiful motorcycle called a Triumph. He would bring it into the house or the basement, disassemble it during the wintertime, and clean the whole thing up and put it back together and bring it back out for springtime. One day, Dad said, I sold my motorcycle. You sold the motorcycle? Well, how can you sell a motorcycle? Just tired of riding it. I'm through with that. How do you be through with something? How can you stop doing something you enjoy? Because your life changes, huh? Got tired of getting wet. Driving in the rain. I didn't give me a car. It just changed. You regret the bike being gone. You regret all that? You regret it now? No. See, when your bent changes, your life changes. You follow me? That's why don't get too hopped up on stuff and overcommit because, you know, as you get older and you change, your bents are going to change. Now, some things won't change. Your love for Jesus, your love for people. But, yeah, in life, these things happen. So delight yourself in the Lord. So then when you're bent toward the Lord, what you do is you open yourself up to what God has for you. You're showing God, Lord, my heart's ready now for this. Because God knows when you say something with your words and your heart's not there. And God knows, well, you're not ready for that yet. You may be saying it, but your heart hasn't changed. When your heart has been trained and your heart changes, then it's time to receive the new things that God has for you. Some folks are bent in bad ways. Some folks are bent to try to always dominate other people. Some are bent to see oneself as superior or belittle other people. People are always, you know, bent sometimes. If folks don't agree with them, want to retaliate against them and, you know, hit them back. So these are all bad ways in which people are bent. But thank God, through Jesus, we're learning day by day through our time in the Word, time in prayer, time in training in the Word. Then we learn how to follow God. Look at Jeremiah 9. This will really bless you. Jeremiah chapter 9, talking about how people are bent in the wrong ways and how it doesn't help them and what does help us. Jeremiah chapter 9. And look at verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. See that? People who are wise are bent that way. Glory. I'm wise. I mean, it's. Sounds crass to say, but people say that. He says that don't a mighty man would glory in his might. People who are, you know, athletic and strong and muscular and stuff, they glory in that. You know, show their body, got selfies of their body, you know, show themselves on Facebook and Instagram, flexing, you know, with a camera, their own camera, holding it in front of, you know, in the mirror. Like, okay, you glory, I get it, okay? You're bent like that. or the person who has resources and money, they glory in their money. What does God say? Jeremiah 9:24. But let him who glories glory in this. In what, Lord? That he understands and knows me. You want to glory in something? Glory in knowing God, understanding him. He says that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord. That's good, isn't it? What does God delight in? Loving kindness, good judgment, righteousness in the earth. So then if that's God's delight, then let me bend myself toward him, because it's not wrong to have wisdom or have might or to have money. It's just wrong to glory in temporary things. How many people have become rich athletes, or probably the worst example, make all that money, and, you know, and the career is over, they end up not having money, end up being bankrupt. So what? I mean, what's the point to glorying and having money without a plan to invest and save and grow money, amen, and have it for your lifetime? So then God says, makes it very simple. Solution is right there in front of us. He says, if you're going to glory, glory in this. Isn't that clear? But let him who glories glory in this. Let him who is bent be bent this way. If you're going to glory in something, we all glory in something. Let me say this to you. It's okay to like stuff, okay? I was at a Starbucks one time. I had my Apple laptop in front of me. Had an iPad over here. Person said, don't you love that? I said, no, I don't love it. I like it. Oh, come on, you love it. No, I don't love it. Oh, come on. She kept trying to persuade me. It's a weird woman. I'm going to say, woman, you go over and say, get your own coffee. Get some more coffee. Whatever you need, get some more of what you need. But her, in her mind, having a laptop and an iPad side by side must say that I love this kind of stuff. I do not love it. I love people. I love God. I only ever like things. I don't love anything. I don't. I'm very disciplined. Listen, y'all. If I was going to love stuff, oh my goodness, I'd be a hot mess. I got iPads, I got drones, I got cameras, I got so much stuff. Man, if I was going to love stuff, I'd be a really hot mess. And God would have nothing to do with me. God's like, boy, I can't use you at all. Because you and your stuff are so much in love, I can't get your attention. That's not my problem. Maybe it's a perceived problem. It's not my problem. In fact, that's why I got so much stuff. Because God can trust me that my stuff never has me. Amen. My bent is toward God. My bent is toward helping people. And that stuff helps me help people. Family first, you know. You all, everybody. So then, you know, God says, if you're going to glory, glory in this. Understand and know me. Say, Lord, thank you. I want to, and I will be bent towards understanding and knowing you more than anything else.